Hello, and welcome back to We Are In Podcast, where we strive to create a safe space for honest mental health discussions and encourage women to embrace their unique journeys. We're your hosts, Erica.
And this is Destiny.
And thank you for tuning in today. I'm so excited for our guest today. She has a heart as big as the ocean, and her ability to make anyone feel like the most special person in the world is a quality that if everyone had, the world would be a much better place. She exudes charisma and warmth wherever she goes, even in her career in human resources. She's worked in various industries such as rehabilitation, nonprofit organization, manufacturing, and even financial real estate in New York City. She's also a loving wife with 3 bonus children and also 1 golden doodle named Sophie. And she happens to be my sister. Welcome to the show, Selena Farino Reda. I can't even say my own last name.
It is all good. Hello. Thank you, Erica, for that amazing introduction. I was like trying not to get emotional. I was crying, but like had to keep it together. But thank you. I felt the love. Even though we're like distance apart physically, but like you're my sister. And yes, I got you, so Destiny. Beautiful. You've been part of our family since kindergarten. So
I know it's been a long time.
As my sister too. So thank you for having me.
Thank you, of course. We're so happy to have you here, and we definitely want to hear about your journey as an HR professional. Today, you're going to give us some insight on the types of benefits that we should be using at work to support our mental health. But first, let's start off with a little bit more background on how you got started in HR.
Yeah, so I would like to say, like, my background is typical in the, like, in my 20s, my probably just graduating. College was like, all right, independence, I want to, like, make, you know, money. So I definitely didn't know if I was ready to establish a career, but I wanted to find a job that like kind of gave me the experience. I wasn't confident enough to actually pursue a career in like chemical dependency counseling or like just therapy. I felt like I haven't experienced life yet to be able to kind of have that sense of confidence. So I was like, well, let me get into like somewhat in that industry. Maybe I could test it out to see if that's something I actually like. So I started as like a receptionist at this inpatient, a hospital that treated for addiction along with mental health. And I mean, it's like, was a huge range of, you know, your typical person who may be feeling extremely depressed and just needs that like inpatient attention just for safety to like somebody who's completely like withdrawing from stuff. So it was a very like extreme experience, but also it kind of exposed me to reality in a safe place. Long story short, I really liked the employees. I was like that person that was always on the committee and volunteered to do anything to make work exciting for someone because I pretty much, if I wasn't in the classroom, I was working. And this HR manager came up to me and she was like, hey, can you help me? And I was like, sure. And I think that's what launched my career, honestly, was kind of being open to a new skill set. And that set me to HR. I mean, I was promoted pretty much right after I graduated in that hospital. I gained a lot of just HR experience and my resume reflects that growth. And I will say this, in my journey, I met remarkable women. And I just wish that I saw more diversity and I didn't. So but yeah, that's kind of like how I got into it, what I did, and hopefully I answered that question.
Oh yeah, definitely. That was great. And that's beautiful what you said about diversity. I think it's always wonderful whenever we can see people that look like us in roles that we want to occupy. So that's interesting. Yes. How you said you didn't really see that.
Yes. Yes. I truly believe representation matters because it mattered to me when I was growing up. So like now that we're the grown-ups, I'm looking around and I'm just like, why am I not seeing, you know, more people that have a diverse mindset at that? You know what I mean? You know, I'm not talking about just diversity of like our exterior appearance, but like our diversity of our thoughts and minds of things. And it's not always tending to like a bias or like, oh, this is what we've always done, because sometimes what we've always done isn't evolving with what's going on around us. So
Yeah, I know one benefit of having a sister that works in HR is that I have called her several times with one of the jobs, you know, one of the jobs that I had, that I was just like, I'm mentally not okay. Like, what benefit should I be using? Do you remember that conversation?
Yeah.
And you said it was like the employee assistant program, remember?
Yeah, so EAP is your employee assistance program. So this is a benefit that most companies use to like kind of be more, I would hate to say it, but like it's to be more attractive in recruiting, right? It's to say, hey, we also are very about mental health. You know, we take that serious. We're going to give you these 3 free therapy sessions per year. Some of them do per year per family or per, you know, per year per individual. But these are benefits that are kind of just made to be recruiting, and they're low cost for like some companies. But I would say that if you are like for your mental health break, I would definitely look in your next employer, like their benefits. That should be the first question anybody's asking in an interview, is saying, what does your benefit package look like and what does it include? And I'm not just talking about your medical, dental. I'm talking about, let me see the handbook, you know, and some companies will give it to you, some companies won't. So, but you could definitely ask for a benefit packet that they give to employees, and that will tell you. And it's completely fine to ask that during the beginning of an interview. And in fact, I highly recommend people to ask questions like that when they're in the final rounds, when you're at the, like, you know, should I be at this company? Because it will show the medical dental insurance. It'll also show additional benefits. So for example, I've been at companies that gave maternal and paternal leave, right? So it's saying moms who are pregnant, they could be on leave, and even dads, you can take that leave as well, which is amazing. It's not really discussed or advertised until that moment happens. But if you're a woman who is planning your future, and you want to know that the company I'm going to dedicate the next 10 years better have, you know, that benefit where if I have a child that I don't have to worry about how long my leave is, like I could be comfortable with how long my leave is going to be. You know what I mean? Because these are life events that only happen once. And I feel like employers should not forget that. But yeah, so for that, the next time, ask for those questions. Because some companies offer EAP programs and some companies will say, oh, sorry, we have FMLA, you know, which is 12 weeks of protected unpaid leave, which that's not fair neither. That's another stressor that people don't need to worry about, is not being paid while trying to address their health care.
Right. Yeah, I remember when I told you about my stress level and that I was feeling like I couldn't handle the job task. Mm-hmm. And you're like, have you checked the employee assistant program? I was like, huh? What is that? And you're like, send me an employee handbook. So I think I've been guilty myself for not putting my mental health or asking the mental health or any therapy benefits before I even start the job. I think that I've been guilty of just focusing on just having your normal healthcare benefits and even 401k and, you know, looking at the vacation hours. I never factored in, what if I find myself struggling mentally?
Yeah. And I think, I mean, it kind of goes back to like what the purpose of like this podcast is like about yourself, like awareness of yourself and then utilizing your voice to make your voice be heard. And then make that movement, because other people are going to relate. It may not be the exact same experience, but that emotion is relatable, right? Like you go to a job and you're like, damn, like I only get 3 hours of vacation time and I've been here for a year. Like, you know, right. And it's just like, that's kind of like, and it's not an easy job. You got to deal with all the Karens in the world. And they're just like, yes, ma'am. Okay. You're right. And and they're like, how come we can't smile more? You know what I mean? Like these expectations for $7 an hour and you only get 3 days off.
It's just like, this economy? No.
Yeah. And it's like, for me, it's like those conversations that need to happen. Hey, boss, you know, if you really want me here, you really invested, this is what I'm needing. Like, You know, if you can't give me a raise, give me something. Give me additional time off. Give me a better schedule that works for my mental health or therapy session or my yoga or whatever you want to do that brings you joy. Like, have that conversation because I believe that something can work. You don't have to work up on the higher ladder, but I know that a manager can have that flexibility if they know that that employee is valued. And that's the big portion too, is like, if that manager is more human-like, or is less more or is more focused about money driven. And that's leadership, you know. And I look for leadership that is about growth, involvement, and investing in people, and not also forgetting that they're people at the end of the day. Versus a company that is all about profitable and how we're gonna, you know, how we're gonna make bigger bonuses and outdo ourselves for last quarter or last year, financially standpoint. But then the people who are making these things don't get to see that profit. They only see that quarter or the dollar raise. So that's what I'm saying. It has to start within ourselves in the right conversation to the right people, and not being afraid of saying, hey, you know what? I deserve more than a 25-cent raise. Like, I know you have a little flex of, you know, giving me an adjustment or preference on shifts. I mean, something that could, that can, how can I say, make it work for you. You've got to find that job that makes it work for you. Because if you're not spending time at home with your family, you're probably at work. And if that work is not making it, if that work is not making what you enjoy doing, and it, or if it interferes that, then why, like, why do we tolerate that?
Going back to what you said, because I was going to ask a question similar to this about things that you can ask when you're still in the interview process. So you were talking about benefits packages. But what else can you ask about company culture? What is a good way to ask them, basically, am I going to be working 1,000 hours a week, or am I actually going to be able to have a good work-life balance? What are some
Oh
good
yeah.
ways?
So like interviewing, I would say I've enjoyed interviewing as a the employer, and because interviewees definitely taught me how to interview as well and negotiate. I mean, the interviews I've been in have been either amazing and some that have been like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. But I would say when you're in those, when you, even when you're barely meeting, when you're barely like going in for your first, and they always say, well, do you have any questions for us? I always tell people, have 5 questions. I know it's a lot. And 5 questions, like, damn, I don't want to be like I'm over consuming. Interviews, people want to hear you talk. So if you got to write down 20 questions to make yourself talk, do it. But I would say at least talk about benefits. Ask about what the expectation is for the first 90 days of the job. So that's also going to ask, like, are there projects you're expecting this person to do right then and there? It's just a savvy way to say, is my 90 days going to be like you're throwing me in the water and hoping that I'm swimming, or is there actual training? Now, if that question they answer is super vague, where like you don't know if they answered it, then say, how long is your training process for this job? So you go in, you ask for the benefits, and then you ask, you know, what does the net first 90 days look like for this person, for this new role, for this person that is hired? And then ask them, what is the training? What does the training for this role look like? What does it entail? Are there offsite, you know, trainings you have to, like, ask these questions so that it helps you paint that visual picture that you're needing to see what they're describing. Okay. And then I would definitely ask about, if you're really interested and you're intrigued by those responses, ask about how long the interview process is. How quickly are you looking to fulfill this position would be the right answer. And 3, I would say, what qualities and skills are you looking for this person to have? And that's how you kind of also, that's another last one. And the one more thing, what is the culture here for you? In your own words, can you describe me the work culture here? And that worked for me in 2 ways. If it sounds too good to be true, Destiny, let's all be
Like
real.
lies.
Yes. But like when you know an authentic answer, like, you know what? Hey, there are days that are tough. There are days, but everybody's here. We've had people, we don't lay off people. We try to preserve, like, when I hear those, like, yes, we hire people because we want them to stay here. We hire people because we need them here fundamentally. Like, we appreciate them. Those are all good qualities. But when it's like, oh, it's just so great. We have bagel Fridays. We do this. We have happy hours. We have this and that. And it's just like, let's all be real. Like, it's very selective. And let's hope that you get invited to these things. But it, again, if you're looking for a company that does that, then that's your work culture. But for me, it was more of a collaborative approach and just talking to each other with respect, regardless of, differences. You know what I mean? I think for me, that was like, I kind of saw that less in my last job. That I had was just the respect value was definitely not there, despite the years of experience that people did have. You know what I'm saying? Like, they never really respected the people because of what they brought in their years of experience. It just became more of like a political structure. Like, it's all like who you know and who, I guess, which is also kind of toxic. It's extremely toxic in my opinion. But again, that could be somebody's ideal workspace.
That is very true. Some companies do operate like that, where it's a lot of referrals, a lot of people know each other, and it can be challenging.
Oh my gosh, forget about it. Here in, like, New York, I was like, what? It's sad. I mean, it's not that it's sad, but it also is a whole other, like, topic of discussion, right? When you talk about nepotism and when people bring in their own, and then it's like, then you see, like, years of experience to how much they're getting compensated. It's just, like, it's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah.
Can you share like an experience where an employee approached you with mental health concerns, and when a company you worked for handled it great, and also maybe an example of when a company handled it badly?
I remember having a conversation with this individual when I kind of just like lightly spoke to her about like how she's doing, and just like, you know, hey, you know, I've seen you kind of like, you seem a little like out of your normal self and your sense of your spirit. And so like very light, just to kind of like see what's going on. And usually, you know, with her, like I spoke to her and, you know, I kind of gave her the rundown of like EAP, and just like, look, if you're going through something, you know, I could help, you know, look through like if any assistance regarding if she was homeless or if it was like, I had no idea. I just knew she was, was there. I knew there was a shift. But then, you know, I deal with supervisors and managers that tend to focus more about performance, which is normal. But, you know, for me was like, okay, yes, performance could be driven, but it's also like, what about the person? Like, what if, do we know what's going on? Because I truly believe that, like, if you have a life situation happening, for example, like death in the family or losing, like, I feel like it's the right thing to do for companies to respect that time that's needed. When it comes to benefits, like, it has, and we're talking about years of service, like, we got to do right. We can't just be by the book and like this and that, because people deal with things differently. And I think companies hated that idea because they just heard money being lost. But the companies that did hire me realized that, like, I brought humanity, like being a human, back in the workforce versus like conversations of did you meet your quota today. It brought like, hey, we're a workplace, we take care of our employees too. For me, mental health, it was important, as well as medical health, dental, and vision. So like, when we would talk about benefits at work, I was always talking about, hey, what is mental health? What is personal days look like? Because I felt like the more that they knew what they had to balance their work life, the more often or the more at ease they feel to have those conversations when they're needed before they burst up. So I truly believe that in any profession, when it comes to your benefit packet, mental health should also be as equally there as it is for your medical, dental, vision, HSA, FSA, all those good stuff. But I just feel like the person that's given it to you could be that stepping stone of change, maybe that little pebble in the shoe, you know, because I believe it starts up at top, but let's all be real. we did this, we're here because we've uncovered the lack of progress that there has been.
Everything that you just said really hits home. I've definitely worked at companies before where I'm talking to other employees and we're all saying, okay, I cried today. And they're saying, oh, I cried yesterday. I cried on Monday. And we're all stressed. And then you go into these meetings and you're trying to hold it together, but really you're having an issue with your boss, but you feel like you can't speak up and you kind of feel like you just have to be a yes man in order to either keep your job or to get along. And so we really do want to empower women to be able to speak up and to take control of their mental health at work. What can we do when we're in a workplace that feels toxic? What can we bring up to the person that's in HR, if anything?
Yeah, so for any employee or any person or any woman that is in their situation and they are trauma bonding with their coworkers, know that, like, is this what I really want to do? Like, do I feel like this is where I want to be at for the rest of my life? And if that's it, that's okay, right? Like, that is fine. But if you know that you're missing out, or you know that something like what you used to do no longer satisfies you, what HR was for me, I loved it because I enjoyed the people aspect. I enjoyed knowing that I was giving people jobs. I loved knowing that I was helping a single mom being able to, like, provide for her children. But I knew at the end of the day, I got really burnt out because I was consuming myself and every energy in my career. And I realized, like, there's more to me than that. And I will never forget my mentor telling me that. She's like, Selena, like, don't allow yourself to, like, let your career be who you are. And I was. That's when I realized, like, I need to get out. And it wasn't, and it was scary. It was scary. But I tell anybody who is afraid to make that leap that that's part of the process. And what better bet can you do than bet on yourself? You know, you're betting on yourself. And don't forget the decisions you've made to be there in that moment in your life. You know, like, you took a chance on yourself. So, like, why doubt yourself now? You know, people make bad decisions, and you know what? You could correct those. And that's kind of where, like, when we're doubting our own faith and within ourselves, it's okay. But, like, well, you haven't failed yourself yet, you know? So, like, don't count against yourself. Definitely take the time to reflect on what you're asking and what you're needing. And then, you know, if you're a little iffy or having a struggle, like struggling to articulate what you're needing, you know, phone a friend, talk to your mentor, journal it, kind of power through, you know, not power through, but like just filter your thoughts. And then have the conversation with your, you know, your supervisor, your manager, saying, you know, maybe, hey, this project that I'm currently working on, it's definitely kind of stressing me out, or the deadline is a little tighter than what I'm expecting. And I think the last advice is that we got to stop telling ourselves that asking for help is a form of weakness, or that we're not able to handle it. Like, that's probably one thing that holds, that helped me back a lot in my career, was to tell my boss, hey, this is a lot that I can handle, because I didn't want to not prove myself, and I didn't want them to think that I couldn't take it or that I was not enough. Like, I knew I was more than capable of doing it. I just didn't want them to see that I couldn't handle it. And when I was going through my thing and I needed to ask for help, you know, like I said, some people react to it and some don't. But those are my three advice to anybody who is kind of in that gray area of, is it time for me to leave my career? Is it my time from the space? Or, you know, what can I do to make this workplace work for me? Would definitely, you know, pause and reflect, figure out what you're needing, what that looks like, have that conversation with your supervisor, or manager, or your colleague. And three, it's okay. You can ask for help or assistance. It is completely okay. It does not tie into your skill set or your incompetence. It is saying that you are human and that you just need that help right now, that little floaty.
Yeah, I've definitely had to take time and reflect, like you said, taking a few weeks and saying, do I need to stay here or is it time to move on? And there have been times when it was time to move on. Have you ever had moments where you saw someone do it completely the wrong way? The don'ts of the list?
I mean, I definitely want to say that I want to, I how can I say, as funny as it is, I have seen in retail, like I remember a girl completely like trashing a certain area when they're like they've had it. Which is, I'm not gonna lie, it's probably therapeutic because I was like, go girl, you do that. But if you are in that corporate position, it is very passive. And you have to be able to keep your head up high. And I will say, regardless if you're talking about, if you were always a yes person like I was, and you say no, it's gonna be a rift, and you just gotta stand strong with it. It is very awkward, but don't let that moment make you like cave in. Just like ride it through. Because I think once you do let that guilt or that like, oh my gosh, I made it completely awkward asking for help. Now nobody wants to give me these assignments. It's to me a sign that like maybe you should question the culture there, you know? Maybe it isn't a you thing, maybe it's a them problem. You know what I mean? Maybe that gives you a little bit more clarity too.
Right. So I think one of the biggest takeaway is the importance of corporate America should just be remembering that the human part of us, which you said earlier. So in your personal life, do you have any challenges as far as like in your personal life that affected your mental health outside of your career? And I know you're not working in HR currently anymore. Where are you at right now?
I think it's so funny because I had somebody ask me a couple of days ago, like, what made you do this, like, change? For me, it was the fact that, like, I was not enjoying my life in the present. I look back and I'm thinking, like, my goodness, I have such a beautiful life, but my stress with work of just always thinking, like, I got to get this done. I got to get this done to prove this, like, chase this, like, I'm not enough kind of thing because I was really trying to make a name for myself as it, like in my career. And where I'm at currently in my life, I've realized that I've allowed my titles and I've allowed my positions to be to consume a lot of Selena that I was uncomfortable of allowing that space to be consumed. My stress was very became unmanageable where I did experience my first panic attack in the car driving, and I was like freaking out as I was like talking to my husband, and he's like, how are you driving? And I'm like, I don't even know how I'm doing this. That was really scary for me to experience that. And, you know, I had a couple of health issues that like sprung up out of like nowhere. So that was also kind of a sign tell of like, you know, if I'm mentally not okay, my body's clearly telling me I'm not okay. I think that was when I need to realize, like, all right, Selena, you need to have this like come to Jesus within yourself and like really ask yourself, like, what are your priorities in life? A lot of things that used to like stress me out, a lot of things that used to consume a lot of my energy, like, really don't anymore, which is great. But yeah, that's my mental health on the sense of profession. I forgot what the other one was.
And where are you at currently? Like what
Okay.
industry, what field are you currently in?
So I'm currently in the education field. I'm in the classroom helping with freshmen. I'm kind of living day to day of just like enjoying being in the moment, enjoying just being present. I find my fulfillment of helping with, so I work with a teacher who's been there for like 25 years plus in special education. What she does there is amazing. So like just kind of having a different perspective, like it amazes me, like teachers still today, and like it's just like wow, like the love, the passion she still has despite like the administration and like the workplace and the pay, like that's a whole different thing. But like for her to still be resilient for her students, for her to still come in with a smile and a high energy and patience, like I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, she's awesome. So like I'm having such a great experience in the classroom. I don't know if I want to be like, if I say right now in this moment that I want to be a teacher, I don't know. But I'm enjoying what I'm doing and I'm okay with that. And I'm taking my time. I'm having a good time. Like, I'm having a good time. I smile more, which is great.
Amen.
So I think that's the first, like, how can I say, instant, like, change that you see, like, oh, I'm smiling more and I could sleep throughout the night. You know, like, it's nice to feel normal again and not being so responsive or always feeling like you have to be on constantly. I don't feel so heavy. I feel like I could breathe. And I think I know I'm in a good spot, mentally, spiritually, and physically.
I love that. And I like that it's becoming more common for people to be able to pivot in their lives and their careers. If you feel like it's not working and you're not happy, that you can switch, you can change what you're doing. You don't have to retire.
Exactly. With that career
that's making you miserable.
Well, I think our parents' generation, like, kind of, it was difficult because, like, my dad has been in a job for like 30 or 20 years. And then, like, mm-hmm. he retired from that and went to another job for like 20 years. And I'm just like, I can't do that. Like, right? 20 years of same people at work? Like, uh-oh. To me, it's just like, if it works for them, if it works for the people, that's great. If you found your forever, like, coworkers, you hit that. But for me, it was just like, I don't know, family, the relationships that I have created and continue to create and foster, like, mean the more to me, most to me. And if I can collaborate my work into that and get money, like, that's great. But I'm not going to allow corporations, or I'm not going to allow, like, what kind of job title or, like, the pay to define who I am. I'm not going to let dollar signs define my happiness.
Right. Okay, let's ask some questions to end the podcast from an HR perspective. So here we go.
Okay.
We've all been in the situation where we have a coworker or a boss that we can't deal with or stand. Give us just maybe a top tip on how to deal with them. What can we say? What can we do? Should we avoid them? How do we handle those difficult people in the workplace?
So I would say keep it as authentic and organic as you can. I think when it comes to feedback of saying, like, you're annoying or you're rude or you come across like a micromanager, don't just, like, tell them, like, what their behavior is doing. Like, also tell them why and why it impacts you or how it may come across. So I had a coworker recently who reads their email out loud, and I'm thinking, like, okay, I don't want to be a jerk.
Email, that's wild.
Yes. Unhinged. And I thought that as well. I was like, oh, we're doing this, you know, like, I also had that, like, oh my gosh. But, you know, I think about it, like, maybe this is a soothing coping, I don't know. So, you know, one day I'm like, hey, you know, are you reading those emails out loud because, like, you're helping, like, you're reading them out for us? Because, you know, it's hard for me to kind of focus on what I need to do. And then hearing your voice, it's kind of distracting. And, I mean, you know, they looked at me and they're like, oh, I wasn't reading it out loud. And I was like, oh, you sure? Because, I mean, I hear you, and I'm sitting right here, and I just want to make sure you're not reading them out loud to me. That's what I told her. I told them, I was like, I want to make sure you're not reading them out loud to me. And they're like, oh no, I was just kind of reading what's on the email. I was like, okay, cool. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna have my headphones in, and if you need me, just, like, wave. So I just realized, like, you know, she didn't get what I was coming from, but I wanted to know, like, you read it out loud. My headphones are in because you're distracting me. You know, it wasn't the ideal, no, but I think when you want to give that feedback to somebody, especially if it is your supervisor, just make sure you go in with a very, like, I want to say, like, I don't want to say chill, but, like, hey, boss, you know, I just want to talk to you about something. Can you help me understand why, you know, when I was giving the presentation that you needed to interrupt? Because I was going to answer this person's question, and, you know, I just wish you would have given me that time. right? You want to explain the action that took place that maybe upset you, and then also give them like the reason why, you know. Sometimes I even ask my supervisors, like, you know, sometimes it's hard for me to understand that you make these decisions, but I thought you hired me to make those for you. Do you feel like you can't, you don't trust in my abilities? So it's, again, having that frank conversation, but like explaining him that why. I think we forget that why all the time. And that could be your supervisor also forgetting to explain you the why you're needing to, you know, work on this or come in on time. You know what I mean? Like I think we forget to explain that why factor in every conversation we have when we're asking something. So if you give them the why, then it comes out as like a full process thought, like, and they can, then they're aware of like, okay, I see. I could come across that way. And some supervisors are going to be like, that's just how I am. I've had that before too. Like, I'm just off the cuff. Like, you got to deal with it. You know, and you can't change people like that.
The cuff. Mm-mm.
No.
Don't go off the cuff.
At least you know why. At least, like, okay, well, this, it ain't me, it's you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
So the next one is, what's one underrated skill that job seekers should prioritize in their career?
I'm going to say that the human touch, the person that is able to go into a room of like strangers who have never, who are either working with each other or not, that can make people feel comfortable, that can break the ice. I truly feel that people leaders need to be more present in bigger corporations. They need to be present in every leadership board, because if they're not there, then you're going to be in this like robotic, you know, clock in, clock out type deal. And I don't see that happening in this next workforce. I feel like this next generation are going to want more, you know, and if they're not going to get more, they're going to ask for more. And seeing the pace of how like corporate America is and how they have been and the lack of evolvement, I think they're gonna have a hard time. But again, you know, if you know somebody, if you're married into a big family, you might have landed a really good job, you know. But for me, I see the workforce going to shift. And I think this right now is a great opportunity for companies to embrace that and to not only embrace it as a benefit, but also as like a workplace culture where, you know, people can start a job at the entry level and be able to stay there because they have the benefits, they have the pay to be able to support themselves and their family, or they choose to grow their family too. I don't think a lot of companies, we see that anymore. And maybe those were companies that like mom and dad were in, that they lasted 20 plus years, you know, maybe that was a work culture. And now we've kind of drifted away because of technology and automation, you know. But I would like to see more of those people leaders in the leadership role. Somebody who has the empathy, who listen, who can delegate, who can follow through.
I agree with that. Yeah, that's good to keep in mind.
So give us one piece of advice for someone starting out in their profession. So this could be for any industry. Do you have one piece of advice that kind of covers it all?
I would say, I'm going back between two. I don't like, I want to say fake it till you make it, but I don't want to say that because it sounds so like cheesy and lame. But I would say to my younger self, be confident and like know, like just be confident and know who you are and what you bring. I think for me, like that was always my like repeating voice in my head when I would approach or when I would leave the interview, of like, you're confident, you're capable, you're enough. Like they reached out to you. They would have not interviewed you if they did not think you met the requirements. In the years of HR that I've been, like resumes are looked over, people do review them, and they are selected based on what is on there. So like, don't think that you got there because you're lucky. You got the interview because you have something that they're needing. And like, don't forget that. Just be confident. You know, if you're nervous, breathe through it. We're all human. And if there are a-holes about it during the interview process, and you know what? That's a red sign. They're not meant right. there, you know, meant for you. But like, I'm a big person about preparation. You want to make sure that if you are extremely nervous and maybe you're more of an introvert, that you practice interviewing with yourself in a mirror, or you with your friends, or like you interviewing yourself, and like, what questions would you ask? What questions could they possibly ask? You know, prepare yourself for that, so it's not as uncomfortable. Because I will say first impressions do last. So you want to make sure that your first impression is what you want to come across as. You know, if you want to be overly confident, then do that, you know, or if you want to be authentically genuine, like, do that. But just make sure you go in there 100% confidently you.
Yes. Confidence. I like that. That's the theme of the episode.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, sister, for being on this show today. I really appreciate you dropping some gems and also mm-hmm. just being your energy. I'm feeling a lot of energy from you.
Well, my energy definitely comes from the fact that, like, I'm super proud and in awe of both you and Destiny for doing this. We are not alone in this crazy life. Kind of like what we go through, I think it's needed in our community. I think it's needed in our culture that we have conversations to say, like, yeah, I've been there. Yeah, I see you. And we could power through with kindness and love. I just want to say thank you again for inviting me and talking about this, because this definitely was a step in my healing journey of being able to kind of express without any shame or guilt, and being able to share my knowledge and experience with you and with you guys and with your community. I'm excited for what your podcast has to come. I'm excited for just the fact that we're having these conversations, and that you guys are literally like cycle breakers, rather it's for family cycle breakers or like generational. But I definitely feel honored of being on this podcast, and thank you again for allowing me this time and space, and your time and space for letting me share my experience.
Don't try to make us tear up over here.
It's beautiful. You. It's yeah, it beautiful is. What you're doing.
Just in general, the fact that I agree with you. Our generation is trying to break cycles.
Yes.
And it's really hard. It's really hard.
It is very. Because people don't want to talk about it. And that's mm-hmm. where, like, I'm so amazed of just, like, you and Erica, like, not just amazed of, like, what you're doing, but, like, the origin of your guys' relationship. Because, like, I don't even have a friend from kindergarten. Like, I'm connected to them on Facebook, but it's not a whole different level than what you and Erica bring. So, like, the organic of your guys' relationship, the topic, and, like, the representation that both of you individually bring, and the connection, the fact that, like, both different backgrounds, but the connection you guys have, like, it brings hope that, like, with kindness and love and acceptance, like, we can make a world a better place. And, like, women, if we can just be there to support each other and to say, you know what, girl, you deserve more than that. Like, or have mm-hmm. those conversations that tend to, some girls may seem like, oh, I don't want to talk about it. Because, like, no, let's talk about it. Like, it's okay, because it's mm-hmm. not taboo anymore. We are in the time where, like, probably a lot of women can relate to what you guys are talking about. Or like, oh, I want to say something too. You know what I mean? Like, because I definitely mm-hmm. felt that when I was listening to your episodes. These are conversations that need to happen. Mm-hmm. And what better way than to start with ourselves?
Yeah, well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you again for being here. We're so excited. And we hope to have you back.
Yes.
I'm gonna call you all the time to be my hype woman.
Look, I can give you my playlist. I have a playlist and everything. At the end of the day, I tell people, like, you got to be your own cheerleader, because, like, the world sometimes can be crazy and could question you. You cannot question yourself. You cannot. So, but thank you again, ladies, for letting me be on here. It was an honor.
Yeah. So thanks again for listening to our episode. Be sure to subscribe and follow us on our socials at Where I Am Podcast. And if you want us to discuss a specific topic, you can also email us at whereiampodcast@gmail.com. And if you love what you heard, don't forget to share and leave a review.